Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a special audio interview on Bull Market Run. I'm John Hallstein, editor of Bull Market Run. It is a great pleasure to introduce a very special guest, Dr. Chris Jennings, a legend in the diamond exploration business, co-founder of the Diavik Diamond Deposit in the Northwest Territories, among other discoveries. And now he and Gren Thomas are together again through North Arrow Minerals, NAR, on the TSX Venture Exchange, searching for another potential major diamond discovery at Lac de Gras. Dr. Jennings has over half a century of experience in geology, mineral exploration, and development. He has directed exploration throughout Canada, the United States, Africa, South America, Scandinavia, Greenland, Australia, and the Caribbean. His active involvement in diamond exploration since 1974 has resulted in the discovery of hundreds of kimberlite pipes, a number of which are economic. And in 1995, Dr. Jennings received the Prospectors and Developers Association Distinguished Service Award for contributions to diamond discoveries in Canada. And also, just a couple of years ago, he won the British Mining Journal Lifetime Achievement Award, the only individual heading up a junior company that has ever been given that award from the British Mining Journal. That was 2 years ago. So we're talking to a gentleman here this morning who is a major expert and a legend in the diamond industry. So, Chris, it's a pleasure to have you on Bull Market Run here this morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much, John. You flattered me with that introduction, but thanks very much for that. And for me, too, it's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
You traveled from your home in South Africa to meet with Gren Thomas, your old friend, and the North Arrow Minerals crew in Vancouver this week. First off, Chris, how does it feel to be teaming up again with your old partner, Gren Thomas, in the search for another major diamond discovery in the Northwest Territories?
Oh, I'm very, very excited about teaming up with Gren again. It was 19 and a half years ago that Gren and I set out on one very wintry November morning to fly up to start the staking up to the east of Lac de Gras, and the ground ultimately yielded the Diavik mine. Gren is a real straight shooter. He's a highly intelligent man. He's a great man, and I regard him as a friend, and I'm absolutely just delighted to be working with him again.
You recently did a private placement with North Arrow. You've worked out a joint venture agreement with the company on its land holdings at Lac de Gras, which constitutes 100,000 acres. You're putting your money where your mouth is. You're genuinely excited. You're really pumped here about the blue sky potential.
Absolutely. You know, quite frankly, as I look around the world and I've been most of the places where diamonds are produced, there is no more prospective ground than Gren's North Arrow property, which is immediately contiguous and on the same structure, dike structure, as all the Misery Pipe on the Ekati project, and of course all the mines on the Diavik project. This ground extends onto North Arrow. It's prospective. There are targets, and I'm excited about this.
We'll go into some more specifics on the Lac de Gras property and your proprietary technology, which is helping the company discover something possibly at Lac de Gras. First off, though, Chris, what's your view of the current state of the diamond market? And how are things right now on the exploration front? How many important discoveries are we seeing, and where are they?
Right now, first of all, I think everybody knows that the ability to raise diamonds has been raise money for diamond exploration has been difficult the last 2.5 years. That's picking up. It's not yet peaking, but I believe more and more companies are going to be getting back because it's easier to raise the money. The next thing is that diamond prices took a big knock. Some of them went down to 50% of what they were 2.5 years ago. Those diamond prices are now almost back to their peak of 2.5 years ago. They're very close to that, so that has picked up. And then the rest of your question is, what's out there? I had dinner with Gren Thomas and Ira last night, and Ira Research, he just read a report that says that the world reserves of diamonds, on average, are 15 years left. The exciting thing to me about anyone in exploration is that we need to replace those dwindling reserves. Russia's running out of diamonds, Australia's running out of diamonds, South Africa's running out of diamonds, Botswana is, their production will reduce, but there are no new major discoveries. There are things like Iris Stornoway in Quebec, which they've virtually tripled their reserves in the last year, which is exciting, and I think there's a chance of increasing them. So to me, that's probably the next mine. There's Gachacui is a possibility, not a really huge producer, but around the world there's no new production coming other than those two properties that I talked out of Canada. Of course, there is Saskatchewan, and we have to wait and see if that's economic.
And of course, in the Northwest Territories, the two major mines there are getting fairly close to the end of their days as well, right?
Yes, I think, Ekati was in production earlier than Diavik, so they're probably running down more rapidly. But there's no doubt Diavik, they're going underground and they're opening up 418. But they need to look to find new discoveries. And, I think there's a chance that that will happen there as well. But there's a long lead time to bring a new mine into production, so they are stepping up production right now, exploration right now.
How has the exploration for diamonds changed, Chris, in the last 20 years since you and Gren discovered Diavik?
There are always improvements in exploration techniques, but there haven't been, better ways of flying and more sensitive ways of flying airborne magnetic and electromagnetic surveys. The technology of predicting which diamonds, which pipes are going to be more economic or less economic or barren have improved, and that's a constant improvement. What the technique that I'm using, and I don't understand fully because I teamed up with a geophysicist who came up with this technique a few years ago, and I've obtained data from various parts of the world where there are known pipes, and I've run this data, and it sees all the pipes and it sees more because it's very sensitive at picking up subtle anomalies that occur on some pipes. So this is a major new breakthrough. It's not the answer. It won't find every pipe in the world, but if you use it with the other techniques, it's an exciting new technique, and I'm very happy to be able to be applying this on the North Arrow property.
So this is proprietary technology that you're using, something fairly new, and you've used it already with some success on some other areas at Lac de Gras, correct?
Yes, we've used this technology on the new Nedina project, where I'm a partner with Stu Blusson and Ellen Clements. And it works and has worked extremely well. But when I've applied it to areas in Australia, elsewhere in Lac de Gras, in South Africa, wherever I've applied it, it sees kimberlite pipes and it sees more than were known.
Interesting. Now, it's it's amazing to me that on North Arrow's 100,000 acres at Lac de Gras, where about 20 holes have been drilled historically, that not one kimberlite pipe has yet been discovered. There has got to be. There has got to be some kimberlite pipes there, I would think. I mean, it's unfathomable to believe that there cannot be any there. And I think with your technology, it's going to aid immensely as you start drilling that property this summer.
Correct, John. Kimberlites don't stop on a boundary, which is an arbitrary thing, which is the boundary between Diavik and North Arrow. So they don't stop on those. I think when I plot all those holes that I've been able to find, and I think I found 17, I plot them on my data, Only one of that 17 would I have picked, and I have to find out why that one missed, because it was a reasonable target, but sometimes you can miss a thing by a few meters, so we'll be checking that. But that, to me, is really positive that the targets that were picked at other times by different people, I would never have picked any of those. I feel more confident that we're going to find something. And I found that a lot of holes, the person picking them used airborne electromagnetics, which is the conductivity of the rock. And in all cases, those turned out to be magnetic sulfides and not kimberlites. And so I wouldn't have used that. So, and then other people got distracted by making other discoveries, and off they ran and did something else. So I don't think by any means that it's been properly prospected.
So you're very confident that you're going to find some kimberlite pipes there, and the only question is whether they're going to be economic. But the interesting thing is that the ratio to kimberlite pipes and economic pipes is very high at Lac de Gras compared to everywhere else in the world.
You're absolutely right. When I look at the numbers of successful pipes to numbers discovered, Lac de Gras, by a long way, has the best chance of a discovery. It's call it 50 pipes discovered on the Diavik property, and at least four. It's 1 in 12. There's some countries, you go to Tanzania and there's 1 in 700, and in South Africa it's probably 1 in 400, in Russia it's probably 1 in 100. So the chance of it, we can't predict from the airborne data that I'm using whether it's going to be good or bad. We can, once we get either minerals from that pipe, or whether we have a bit of core from that pipe, then we can be very, very sure of whether something is going to be good. But we have to find them first. So, once you found them, we found 12, we have a chance of finding a mine.
Yeah, it's really just a numbers game, isn't it? I mean, that has to get you really excited, because the more targets you've got, the more drilling you do, it's probably just a matter of time. It's just a numbers game to find something there.
Yeah, well, I also feel they owe me one, because I was involved with Southern Era, and Southern Era has the southern half of the whole Diavik project, which is the old Tenby and Commonwealth properties. And we probably found 40-plus pipes, and we didn't find a single economic one. So I'm hoping that I've got 40 behind me, and then I find we'll look better.
With your technology, what constitutes a high priority target? Because I think you've prioritized these targets here for North Arrow, and you've got about 70 or so, right, that you've identified. What constitutes a high priority target?
Size is important, but we have some extremely rich pipes. The 154 North, I think, is 130 meters across. So size is important. The shape of the anomaly is important. Sometimes it's important. Some of these pipes are negative anomalies, some are positive. I want to drill both to see, because to the north of us, there are economic pipes on both types of magnetic anomalies. Shape is very, very important, and then the look of this anomaly when you plot the data is extremely important as well. So, and I will be testing different types of anomalies, but there's a sort of 3 or 4 years of looking at these anomalies around the world and seeing what the economic ones look like and what new data with similar looking signatures is. So it's a lot of matter. And then I also add other techniques, the conventional techniques, to that, and try and come up with a better target.
So as you spent some time here with Gren this week and the North Arrow team, what were they saying to you? They must have been pretty impressed here with what you're saying and what you've come up with.
There's no doubt about it. I think they like the idea. Their first reaction is, wow, we've got airborne data from other areas. Let's start processing it there, and let's go to bigger areas and different areas, yes.
Hmm. So in general, what does your technology say about the potential of North Arrow's properties?
I really like it.
That's good to hear. And I think between yourself and Gren Thomas, I mean, there's two legends in the diamond business. If anybody can find something major, again, at Lac de Gras, certainly you two individuals.
Yeah, I, as I said earlier, I'm very, very excited to be working with Gren. He's a great explorer, and it's really a huge pleasure to be back working with him again.
So the plan right now is to ground truth these targets that you've come up with here in the next month or so, and get to drilling sometime over the summer, probably late July, early August. Is that the plan?
Exactly what it is, yes.
Okay. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Chris, and it's wonderful being able to chat with you here this morning, and I hope we can hook up again here in the near future. I know it's going to be a very exciting summer for you and for Gren and for North Arrow as you try and come up with some more magic, as it were, at Lac de Gras and a repeat of your major discovery back in the early 1990s.
Thank you. Really, I appreciate you having me on air with you, and I enjoyed talking to you, and we're going to do our damnedest to do just that.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Chris Jennings. You've been listening to a special audio interview on bullmarketrun.com with Dr. Chris Jennings and myself, John Hallstein, editor of Bull Market Run, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.